Hello, and welcome to another edition of Outside the Box, where the ideas are guaranteed to be unique and provocative, whether you agree with them or not. Today's topic is the newest verb. I want to introduce you to the newest verb in our language. I know it's the newest one because I just made it up. The verb is to gandhi, meaning to use truth force or nonviolent action, or Mohandas Gandhi's term satyagraha, to struggle against oppression or violence. Gandhi, as you may know, was a leader in India's successful nonviolent struggle for freedom from the British occupation between 1918 and 1948. So, to gandhi also means to fight nonviolently, the way Gandhi did, for the things we believe in. To gandhi is the opposite of to war. When we war against something, it's generally armed conflict between countries or groups. People who are gandhiing are unarmed, but are trying to resolve a conflict while maintaining everyone's dignity and respect. Let's try a few examples. How could the U.S. government gandhi its opponents in Iraq? One way is to drop money instead of bombs on its opponents. Even if we dropped $1 million in an area, it would be cheaper than the cost of the bombs. And money has already proven effective in buying off Sunni opponents of the U.S. occupation in some areas of Iraq. Food relief or fuel and generators distributed equally in all communities might be another way the U.S. government could gandhi its opponents. And if the United Nations or a group of Middle Eastern countries gandhied with food and fuel, it would probably reduce the violence even further. Iraqi clergy could gandhi their religious community by fasting publicly until the attack stopped. If you think there's only a few ways to gandhi someone, or some group or nation, Gene Sharp collected 198 different kinds of gandhiing in his early 1970s book, The Politics of Nonviolent Action. I'm sure there are well over 200 by now. It's not a list of hypotheticals either. Sharp documented at least one instance where each of these methods were used. He described how Iroquois women in the 1600s gandhied by refusing to make love with or bear children for their male partners until the men conceded to them the power to make war and peace. The women won immediately. Sharp described other gandhiing, such as Chinese soldiers who dropped their trousers during a military standoff with Russian troops, or the Hungarians who struck up relationships with occupying Russian soldiers in 1956. They so convinced the soldiers of their cause that the Russians had to be removed to maintain the occupation. The Hungarians took to heart Albert Einstein's statement, quote, "The best way to destroy our enemies is to make them our friends," unquote. Or the freedom songs gandhied by civil rights demonstrators in Alabama and South Africa against their white oppressors. Iowa students gandhied against Playboy magazine by holding a nude in during a speech by a representative of the magazine. Being palsy-walsy with the person you are gandhiing isn't always the case. There are plenty of examples of boycotts, strikes, and other forms of non-cooperation and disobedience. You don't have to like your opponents. You just have to respect them and expect, even demand, respect in return. There are plenty of examples of people gandhiing by non-cooperating with their captors or oppressors. An extreme example was Corbett Bishop, who was arrested in 1944 for refusing to be drafted into the U.S. military. His simple statement was, "War is wrong. I don't want any part of it." He refused to eat, to stand up, and even to dress himself. He was force-fed and, after 86 days, carried to court. A judge released him, but he was later ordered back to court. He refused to go, was carried in, sentenced again, and returned to prison. Continuing his total non-cooperation, Bishop was finally released unconditionally about 2 months later. Gandhi himself gandhied many times by fasting, usually in response to poor behavior by his supporters, and by making salt to oppose British salt taxes. There's a long and rich history of Gandhiing, much of it successful. Wars have been stopped, labor unions formed, civil and voting rights won for women and people of color, and dictators overthrown. Learning how to Gandhi is as important as learning how to dance, or live with other people, or parent, or have fun. Have you Gandhied often in your life? Have you wished you could do it more? Check out Sharp's list at www.aeinstein.org or contact me for a copy. If you want to Gandhi me because of this feature, send an email to news@weru.org or call 469-6600. I'm Larry Danziger, and here's wishing you great success today in Gandhiing.